Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, today's baptism service let me put it this way. Today's message is almost dedicated to everyone who got baptized, but not just those who got baptized. It's really a reminder to anyone who knows and serves the Lord. So even though it's a great kind of, if you're just starting your life out with God, this is to me a really great lesson to learn about God. But even if you've been serving the Lord a long time like this, I've been serving the Lord for like more than 40 years now. And I'm telling you, this word is for me too. And it revolves in a sense around one question. You know, we as human beings, we have a lot of questions. You ever have questions for God? Man, Lord, you know, why? Why, Lord? Why this? Why that? Or when? Or where? Like, we have our questions, and which is okay. It's good to ask God. But you know, God has questions too. In the Bible, there are all kinds of places where God will ask a question. In fact, the first question that God ever asked in the Bible was, Adam, where are you? Like in the very beginning, God creates man and, you know, Eve takes the fruit, gives it to Adam. She and he disobey God, and then Adam hides, and God comes. And he goes, Adam, where are you? Not because he didn't know where he was, but because he was saying, Adam, why are you hiding from me? You know? Do you know that no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, God, he always cares about how you're doing. He always cares about where you are. But where you are in the sense of where are you today? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where's your emotions? How are you really doing? When he said, Adam, where are you? He wasn't like, he was like, where are you? You know? And I feel like in the last couple of weeks, I may have come across the kindest question of God. Like, even you might look at that first question and say, uh-oh, he's in big trouble. But there was so much love in that first question. And I think that this question I want to read to you, it's like, this question, by the way, comes from the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to read it to you in a moment. And God asked this question in the midst of a very dark time in the history of the people of Israel. Jeremiah was one of the great major prophets, as they say. And Jeremiah was pleading with the people of God to try to get them to choose right, to live right, to do right. And God was even warning them, and there was a lot of warnings, a lot of, it was really a dark time. And in the midst of this, God, he asked this question, and it's going to require some thought, but I want you to open up your mind, not just your heart today, but I want you to open up your mind and think about the King of the universe asking this question. So, the title is God's Kindest Question, but here's the question, okay? He said, and I'll read the whole passage so you get it, but he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? See, this was an illustration. Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you, come on, read this with me, ready? In my hand, Israel. In my hand, Israel. So here's what God is saying. He's saying this to the nation of Israel, but as he speaks to the nation of Israel, you need to know when you and I read this today, he's speaking to us. Everybody say, that's me. So here's what's going on. God, in the midst of all of this craziness, he asked this question. He says, I'll paraphrase it. He says, can't I take you in my hands and shape you? Like, in a sense, he was saying, would you let me take you in my hands? Like, if you fast forward to June 1st, 2025, and you actually let God ask you this question, what's he saying? He's saying, could I take you in my hands like a potter takes clay in his hands? And what would your life be like, regardless of what it is today? It could be bad, it could be ugly, it could be dirty, it could be all kinds of things. But regardless of where you are today, what would happen if God took you in his hands? Now let me read the whole story so we get the full picture, and then we'll be able to pray. But this is something so beautiful and so powerful. When you walk in the doors of our church, you see to the left, it says a place of becoming, right? We've always talked about a place of becoming. We've used this image of what we're about to read to you. We actually, the image and part of even the mission of our church comes from Jeremiah 18, a lot of other places too, what I'm going to read to you. But look, we've used this image, a place of becoming. How do you become? Right? It's clay in the hands of the potter. Amen. So God is saying, can I take you in my hands? Come on, somebody say the answer is yes. So Jeremiah 18, listen to this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. In other words, I have an illustration for you, but there is a message in the illustration, and that travels all the way to June 1st, 2025. It says, so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him, come on forward, say it with me, ready? Working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as, come on, four words, seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to him. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter. Come on, let's say this together. So are you in my hand, Israel. Amen. Fill in your name. So what would happen if you just let God take you in his hands? And so I want to pray today. There's a depth to this message, but I want to pray today that we will put ourselves in his hands. It means different things for different people. It applies in different ways, but it applies to all. Amen. If you know how God feels, if you want to know how God feels towards you, he is very kind. God is a kind-hearted God.
Thank you, Lord.
He's a very kind-hearted God. You know, what's interesting about this, in fact, let me say this before I pray. Like, when you think about God, or when you think about a king, think about going into the CEO's office at work. Think about going into the palace, to meet the queen or the king of England. Or think about going into the White House and the places of great power, in the presence of people that hold great power. Part of what happens to us is we're like, oh, you know, like stand straight, be respectful. You know, I gotta be on my P's and Q's right now. Don't say the wrong thing. You know, like we're thinking about all of those things because we have to like honor the king, right? But how humble is God that even when we're not honoring him, guess what he does? He comes to us. Look at how C.S. Lewis put this, and then I'll pray. Watch this. He said, if God were proud, he would hardly have us on the terms we meet him with. But he's not proud. He stoops to conquer. He will have us even though we have shown that we prefer everything else to him. And come to him because there's nothing better. Now, let me pause right here before I read this last line. How many times have you turned to God, or I've turned to God, because after we messed everything else up and after we're like, oh, I'm in a pit right now. Say, I got no hope, no other place to turn but to God. Don't even raise your hand. When we tried everything else, when we've done everything else, when we tried our way, then we turn to him. And God, instead of saying, oh, you know, so, oh, now you're showing up in front of me, right? Didn't I tell you so? That's not what he does. He says, come as you are. Come on, how many are grateful that he says, come as you are? You see, a lot of people see things and they see God the wrong way. You see, and if you see God the wrong way, you're not going to get the blessing that he's really offering. It says, it's hardly complimentary to God that we should choose him as an alternative to hell, yet even this he accepts. So some people, they live their whole life crazy, and then they turn to God, who's rich in mercy, and he still accepts them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But see, if you're waiting to the last minute, there's so much that you miss out on.
Amen.
And in a sense, that's what today's message is all about. It's like, yes, Lord, I want to be in your hands. So come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and this time. And God, I pray that your spirit would move, speaking deeply to every heart. Lord, so many people, so many hearts, so many lives, so many situations, but you fully know all of them, and you fully love all of us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, God, that you reach down to us instead of us reaching up to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you came down to the earth, oh Lord, because we needed you and because you loved us so much. Bless this word. Bless this time. God, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's praise God one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. So today, when you look at this passage of Scripture, and by the way, I failed to say this, but whenever we're unpacking the Bible, yes, we put the Bible verses up for you, but whenever we put up the text, open your Bible. If you're using a device, keep it there so you could keep referring back to, because we are unpacking the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not trying to give you my opinion. I'm trying to unpack what the Bible says.
Amen.
You see, because the Word of God is life.
Amen.
The Word of God is food for the soul. Hallelujah. He is the bread of life. Amen.
Amen.
The Word of God is living and active. And if you really look at the Word of God, it will feed you and help you and transform you. Do so many things. Amen. So if you really read this passage, one of the big issues of the passage, it's all about our eyesight. So we have how we see things. And part of what's going on in the immediate context is you have what the nation of Israel sees, and then you have what God sees. And what God is saying is, what I see is more important than what you see. Because I see better than you do. How many believe God sees way, way better than we do? And so much of our struggles are based on the fact that we get so caught up with what we see right now instead of listening to God in terms of what he sees. So what does God see when he looks at us? Well, this tells us that he sees us as clay. God sees us as clay. When the potter looks at clay, he sees nothing but potential. When the potter looks at clay, he sees all of the different things that he could shape. The word potter literally in the Hebrew means one who shapes, right? He's the potter, we are the clay. And you know, if you've ever like actually seen that or even tried it, you know, it looks easy, like shaping things are easy, but if you actually tried, do you know the potter's hands have to be so precise? One little mistake with the hands, and what should have been a beautiful vase or whatever he's shaping, it turns into like a pretzel.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
It's not any old hands that shape us, right? God has expert hands. How many know his hands are perfect? And when God sees us, what he sees is clay. What do you see? You might see your failures, the failures of your past. You might see the anger of your heart. You might see the stealing or the cheating. You might see the habits. You might see resentment. You might see all kinds of things. But what you see is different from what God sees. What God sees is clay that he wants to shape and to mold. How many are thankful that God sees us as clay that he wants to work on? And so part of the breakthrough in life is understanding that God wants to put his hands on our lives. And then here's the key. You ready? The key is stay like clay. Everybody say stay like clay.
Stay like clay.
See, it's very, very easy to not be like clay. I would say, I could say at least once a week, right? But I'm going to say once a month, but it's really once a week. So somebody in leadership at this church will hear something like this, and it did happen this week, by the way. So they say, I get discouraged where my life is. And because I get discouraged where my life is, I give into something that's detrimental to me. In other words, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to behave like that. But when I look at where I am, when I look at what I see, I just throw up my hands. I give up on myself. And because I give up on myself, I'm like, what's the difference? What's the difference if I smoke weed? What's the difference if I do drugs? What's the difference if I mess around with that woman or mess around with that man? Or what's the difference? It's all messed up anyway. And but what we're doing is we're only thinking about what we see.
Yes,
instead of recognizing that what God sees is clay with the potential to be shaped and transformed.
Amen.
Come on, we gotta stay like clay.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, we gotta keep our hearts soft.
Yes.
Even when you mess up, stay like clay.
Yes.
Right? Even when you blow it, stay like clay. Because just because you give up on you doesn't mean that God gives up on you. He will never give up on you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you gotta stay like clay. Look at what the Bible says, right? The Bible says in Philippians, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. You see, God is the one who started this. If you're here, guess what? God is the one who's on the move right now. God is the one who starts it, and the one who starts it is the one who carries it on to completion, even though the clay is marred. So the text says the clay was marred. And you're like, but you don't understand how messed up my heart is and my life is. I got all of these things, as if God can't reshape your life after we've jacked it all up. Come on, how many are grateful and thankful? Hallelujah. See, the devil will tell you there's no hope. But there is hope. The devil will tell you that what you see in someone else's life could never happen for your life, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. You just got to stay like clay. If you'll stay like clay, you know, look, we prayed earlier today. Maybe we'll pray that way again. We prayed against stubbornness. And we prayed against inflexibility, because all of us, we have different, like everybody's life is different, and everyone's relationship with God is in a different place, you know? So maybe you came in here for the first time, and maybe you just became a Christian, and you haven't even gotten past the whole worship thing, right? Like, you know, it's like, raise your hands. What are these people doing? I thought you go to church and just go like this. And you wait 45 minutes and then you go home. Right? Wait a second. What's all that about? You know? And God is saying, through his word, I want to teach you how to connect with me. You know, think about it. Right? How else should you act in the presence of a king? He's not just a king. He's the King of Kings. Yes. So in England, they bow, or the ladies, what do you call that? Right? Well, what about us? What about the Savior of the world? What about the one who was crucified? Right? That's why when the Bible says, let everyone lift up holy hands. Yeah. Come on, maybe you've never done it before, but come on, like aerobic class. Come on, lift your hands. Right? Lift your hands. And let's just say let's look up to the King of Glory. And let's say, hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We're grateful. We're thankful for this last week. We're thankful for food. We're thankful for clothing. We're thankful for your help. We're thankful for your mercy and your forgiveness. Hallelujah to your name, oh God. We throw up our hands and we praise you again and again, oh God. What could we give you except our hearts filled with gratitude? Hallelujah, Jesus. Every good thing that we have comes from you. We love you. We praise you. Amen. You can put your hands down. Come on. Hallelujah. You see, for someone, maybe that's their first step. And I'm praying all the time. And here's how I pray for you. I pray for there to be encounters with God.
Yes.
Not head knowledge. Heart experience.
Yes.
You see, he can meet you at the park.
Yes.
He can meet you wherever you are. He can meet you in the office. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. The Bible says, draw near to him, and here, draw near to us. How many know that's the kind of God that he is? But you have to stay like clay. You see, if you're stubborn, then you're not like clay anymore. You see? And maybe there's things going on in your life today, and the Spirit of God is saying, let me shape you. It's time to stop trying to shape yourself, because you just can't do it. You know, yeah, we have willpower, but the human soul is so deep. The heart is so deep, and the heart can just go so off that we need the profound help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's how, if they could send me a keyboard player, look, that's how you get, like I was mentioning this. So at our church, we have so many guys who are ex-gangbangers, ex-cons. You know, I'm talking about guys who've done real time. But if you met them, and trust me, I've actually done this, right? I've said, oh, you see that guy? And I've said, that guy used to, he comes from the, and they're like, no way. That sweet guy?
Yeah, amen.
That nice guy?
Yeah.
Used to be a criminal?
Amen.
Used to be violent? How does a violent heart get changed? All things are possible when we put ourselves in the hands of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's like, I can't change. My trauma's too deep. You don't understand what was done to me during my childhood. I don't. But his hands are healing hands. He's the great physician. Go read the Gospels. Do you know if Jesus touched you, you are getting healed? He touched people's eyes, he touched people's ears, touched their mouth, he touched their bodies. I'm telling you, if you got touched by Jesus, guess what? You're getting healed. How many know he's the healer? Hallelujah. There's healing in his hands. Stop going, don't touch me. And say, here I am, Lord. I want to be like clay. If you're like clay, you can be confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Hallelujah! Last thing I'll say about this. You know, this is for all of us. I was talking to, anytime you see a Christian that you like, wow, I respect that person, or I admire that person, or I want a life like that. Okay, just know that's a person who's experienced lots and lots and lots of shaping from God.
Amen.
It's not automatic. It's just God. Person full of mistakes. I was just talking to a leader, you know, in our church that I really respect, and they said something that I thought was so interesting. They said, you know, I used to give gifts to people. And it was because I had a gift to give. He said, but there was a mutation in it. There was stuff in it that was not right. I needed God to sanctify my gift. That's a theological word. To sanctify means I needed God to make it pure. I needed God to make it holy. I needed God to make it useful and purposeful. And he goes, and then as God sanctified my gift of generosity, now I can do things and Jesus gets the glory and people are impacted and I don't even have to be known for what I give. I just know I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that each and every one of us has a gift? And if God can shape that gift, like the way God could use your life is so, so powerful.
Amen.
If we'll just stay like clay. And so the first thing is, everybody say, stay like clay.
Stay like clay.
He sees us like clay. We have to stay like clay, right? So salvation is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's like you get saved and that's it. No, he keeps. That's just the beginning. And then you shape. So last service, some little kid went, shape. I was like, that's a prophetic word right there. So now, remember the key factors, how you see things versus how God sees things. So I want to go back to the text for a moment. It says, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as, here it is, seemed best to him. Shaping it as seemed best to him. Seemed has see in it. So he sees us as clay. And then here's the second thing that is very, very important. He already sees how he wants to use us. So he already knows how he wants to shape you. Because he already knows the purpose that he has for your life. So there is an assignment that you shouldn't miss out on, that I don't want to miss out on. There's an assignment. Look at what another place in Jeremiah, here's how he puts this. Jeremiah loved this promise. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. You can't see those plans, but God already knows it. Right? It says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Here it is. Let's read it together. Plans to give you hope and a future. How many are grateful? His plans is hope and a future. He's a kind God. He loves us with an everlasting love. He's a kind God. Brother, he's a kind God. Okay, I wish you could see his face. I really put him on the spot right now. He's going, no. Right? There could be 50,000 people here. His eye is on you. And he has a plan for you. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, what's true for him is true for me. Yes and amen. So he already knows. He already sees. So many people don't get to fulfill the assignment. You see, the potter shaped the pottery for a specific purpose. Right? Look at how Paul put it in 2 Timothy. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for, come on, say it with me, special purposes, right? Made holy, that's the sanctifying process, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. So now flee the evil desires of youth. It's immature that when God wants to shape you, it's immature to keep running. And so look, you have to stay like clay. Here's part two to that. Ready? You have to stay on the wheel. Somebody say, stay on the wheel. Don't jump off the wheel when God is trying to shape you. It's immature when God is shaping you. Like, man, Lord, when you shape me, your hands squeeze so tight. I just want to jump off the wheel. Let me tell you, God's tight is your good. Come on, somebody say amen. The hardship won't kill you. It'll grow you. It'll strengthen you. It'll prepare you for the next assignment. Anybody here want to be ready for the next assignment? Hallelujah. Here's the word. Stay on the wheel. And this is advice for the new believers, but I'm talking about for people who've been in church for a while. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the number one delay of fulfillment in the life of God's children is that they don't stay on the wheel. And we're constantly, it's like, look, if you get on a bus and you're supposed to go to someplace and you keep getting off the bus and it's not your stop, you're just slowing down getting where you need to go. Stay on the bus. Stay on the wheel. Somebody say, stay on the wheel. The wheel of your marriage, yes. The wheel of your job sometimes, the wheel of your emotions. Like, there's some things that it's like God is trying to work out, and when as soon as it gets tough, we run. Under that verse, part of what I had there was, he always has a noble use. And he always has another use. You see, God has another use for my life. There's another prayer to pray. There's another sermon to preach. There's another thing that God has. Right? But you have to stay on the wheel.
Amen.
Don't run. Today, Pastor Josh, who happens to be my son-in-law, if you don't know him, Pastor Josh is not here. He's in Philadelphia. So anyway, he's preaching similar message today, and before church started, I prayed for him, and then he prayed for me. And then when he prayed for me, I was reminded of something. So Josh comes here. We're talking about way back, right? 17 years, maybe 15 years ago. So he comes, he worked for Turner Construction, right? And by the way, this is a great segue. Sometimes we're like, oh, if you were in prison, then you need God. But if you have a career, you don't need God. That's baloney, right? There should have been a strong amen for that one, but that's okay, all right? So we all need his hands upon our life. PhD, whatever letters there are, whatever role we play, right? We all need to stay in the hands of God. So anyway, he worked for Turner Construction. He used to manage projects, and he came to our church. He really was serving everywhere. And then one day, he had the nerve. We had a church softball thing, and after the softball game, he comes over and says, Pastor, can I talk to you? And I was like, yes, because I knew what was coming. He's like, can I take Susie out on a date? It's like, okay, but I'm going to be watching you, bro. So they got married. He's a wonderful man of God, great dad. And still working at Turner, but God shaping him, molding him. And then we felt like, look, we need you to come on staff. He was actually the owner's rep. We got basically on budget, on time. Josh was the one who got us into this building, you know, managing all the trades, et cetera, et cetera. And so, but during the course of that time, Josh started to go to the intercession ministry. And then when he came on staff, he actually took over the intercession ministry. And I'm going to tell you right now, right? So Pastor Christian Ballinger, who's now leading at another church, led in worship here, he used to run our intercession ministry, right? Pastor Dave used to run our intercession ministry. So many of our leaders were formed in a ministry that almost no one sees. By the way, if you want to grow, come to prayer meeting, go to intercession ministry. And by the way, people get married there too. Like, there's like this special like wedding dust on. Watch this, we're going to be packed out. Come on, people are going to start praying. So, but anyway, so he used to run intercession ministry, and every Friday night, people are doing this and people are doing that. What's Pastor Josh doing? He's leading intercession ministry. 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, doesn't matter. That's where he was. And I'm going to tell you something. It was there that he learned about the ways of the Spirit. It was there that he started to secure a greater measure of the anointing of God. When you secure the anointing of God, people start following you. People start to listen to you. And then he goes from, and then he's giving Bible studies and exhorting words. And little did he know that he was going to go from that to now he's in Philadelphia. By the way, last Friday, they had a young adults seeking God event. They had 50 young adults for 2 hours seeking the Lord, praying. Come on, can we praise God? God is on the move. You're like, how did that happen, Pastor Josh? He stayed on the wheel. He didn't say, oh, I don't like this. It's boring. I want what this person has. Stop it.
Amen.
Right? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah.